once again. Where does it rain?
On the plain, on the plain.
And where's that soggy plain?
In Spain, in Spain.
The rain is staying, staying, staying in the plain.
My Fair Lady, a new production, is to open at the Theatre Royal in Sydney on Thursday the 9th of October. It's got a wonderful cast, including Richard E. Grant, who plays Professor Higgins, John Wood, Nancy Hayes, and others. I thought we'd catch up with Richard E. Grant, who is in the studio with me. Richard, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So you're playing Professor Higgins.
I am indeed.
What's your take on Professor Higgins? Was he really just a social climbing prig?
No, I think he's a typical of 1914 public school bully boy, brought up in great privilege, who, like most sort of extremely eccentric people, is completely obsessed and possessed about phonetics and how people speak. Hmm. And Shaw based him on a famous man called Henry Sweet, who was apparently a complete misogynist and very intolerant of anybody. But his area of expertise is working out how people and why people use the accents that they do. So he takes on, as a bet, a Cockney flower girl from Covent Garden Opera House and, on a bet, says that he can pass her off as a duchess and does so. So in turn, he's supposed to be the puppet master and Svengali, keeping control of this woman. And in fact, the moment she moves in and lives with him, the tables are gradually turned and he eventually falls in love with her.
It's a great story, wonderful story, originally, of course, a Bernard Shaw play and made more wonderful, of course, by the musical adaptation. It has, unlike many musicals today, it is wall-to-wall showstoppers, isn't it? Wonderful, wonderful songs from
really,
The Street Where You
really
Live.
Really good song. Yep.
Yeah.
Grown Accustomed to Her Face, I Could Have Danced, Dawn
Rain
Rise, Get
Spain.
Me to the Church on Time. Right. Yeah, all of these songs were great in there.
But the pavement always stayed beneath my feet before. All at once am I several stories high, knowing I'm on the street where you live.
Bernard Shaw first wrote the story, of course, it first appeared as Pygmalion, the play, and was adapted from that. But Shaw had a much more serious purpose, didn't he? He was really trying to say something about class in Britain, where everybody,
absolutely,
of course, is in Britain, unlike Australia, where, anybody can do anything. In Britain, you can't. Well, you couldn't then.
No, but I think to some extent it still applies, because there was a newspaper article that I saw in the London paper just before I came here 2 weeks ago that said that 75% of British people are unhappy with the accents that they've got. And in Birmingham, 98% of people wanted to change their accents.
I can understand that.
You can understand that, yeah. So are there no big differences between, say, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane and Perth?
Not really. There's an Adelaide accent.
Oh, is there?
Yes.
Can you do it?
No. But
somebody says that people say castle in Melbourne.
Yes, they do.
Right.
In Melbourne. Melbourne.
Melbourne.
Melbourne, that's a bit Victorian.
Say Peel. Yeah. Somebody said that that's another one.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I think there's a definite South Australian accent. It's most evident in the former Foreign Minister, Alexander Downer. He had a definite South Australian accent.
Right.
But I think the rest of it, no, it pretty much doesn't. In Britain these days, though, I think, just from observing its media, there seems to be a move towards a one accent there, and that is a sort of an amalgam of kind of East London...
Mockney.
Yeah, Mockney. Sort
exactly,
of,
yeah. Tony Blair was a classic example of doing that he spoke middle-class, slightly Scots-accented English. And then when he went into any working-class areas or he was trying to appeal to the proletariat, if you like, he would then start, he's sort of got more sort of glottal like that.
Yeah, that's and, it. He says, that's why I got into politics, so I make things better for people.
Yeah, so I couldn't get a job in the media now.
but it's true. With a voice like yours, you probably couldn't.
Yeah.
Well spoken.
They think received pronunciation, as it's called, is unacceptable.
What's all that about? That's all about sort of...
Reverse, that, if you can have a speech defect or have a strong regional accent. I mean, the biggest talk show host there in England at the moment is called Jonathan Roth. It's extraordinary. He's very, very funny. But, 25 years ago, he'd never been able to get arrested on radio or television, I would imagine. But, Shaw says in his play that, at the moment a man opens his mouth in England, makes another Englishman despise him. So although Henry Higgins is a kind of misogynist, bully and all of those things, at heart he is a great plot. He proves that by changing the way somebody speaks, you can bridge the class barrier.
And Shaw was making a very important you know, ironical, satirical point here, wasn't he? He was saying this is how thin all this is.
The veneer.
Yeah.
Yep.
This is how thin it all is. It really just depends on how you speak. Exactly. As to how people regard you and think where you came from.
Do you ever change your accent according to who you speak to?
No, I can't. I came from Tasmania, you see.
Two-headed Tassie.
That's right. I started with a very, very heavy handicap in life.
Is it true that people are two-headed there?
I'm not going there.
Right. I worked with an Australian director called Di Drew on a movie called Hildegard the Duck. In Coolangatta, kids film.
Sadly not even available on video anymore.
Yeah, and she said that she was generally referred to as a two-headed Tassie, which is where I got that from.
The music is, though, what shines in this production, too. And it goes to show what a great song can do to an eternal story, though, isn't it? Give it a new lease on life. Well, good luck with it. Break a leg and all that. Wish you well.
Thank you very much.
I could have danced all night.